on mine the last few days. I don't know why. This is a sign Diane had in her hands yesterday. Oh well. Stuff happens. Anyway, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. And we dealt with some of that. Dealt with some of that yesterday. And I was thinking towards Psalm 14. In Psalm 14 and verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. He hath shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his heritage. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. To the chief musician, a psalm of David begins the psalm. And that reminds us that the psalms were originally songs that were sung in worship, often accompanied by instrumental music, and we see various directions in the psalms concerning that. And as with the bulk of the psalms, this psalm was written by David, who the scriptures tell us was a man after God's own heart. And yet, as we look upon and read on David's life, we know that he was a man, as we, who was often much in need of God's grace and God's forgiveness. Under the inspiration of the Spirit here, then, David writes, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Some of them are so bold as the ones we saw yesterday that they'll even say it out loud. But it's interesting to me in what the psalm doesn't say. It doesn't say the fool believes in his heart that there is no God. I think, again, there's that maybe it's just me. Maybe it's something my brain. I can almost sense it in those people, you know. They know. They know. But they don't want there to be. They want to deny. And so the fool says in his own heart, seeking to placate himself, that there is no God. He hopes there is no God and no accounting. But I think down deep, he knows. He knows. Psalm 19 tells us, then it begins as this one, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament his handiwork. The heavens declare the glory of God. As I was thinking on some of these things and putting some of this together, I came across a little sign, probably in next week's paper, but it talked about atheism. It says, atheism, the belief that there was nothing, and nothing happened to nothing, and then nothing magically exploded for no reason, creating everything, and then a bunch of everything magically rearranged itself for no reason whatsoever into self-replicating bits, which then turned into dinosaurs. Makes perfect sense. You know, reminds me of the old saying that, you know, when you reject the truth, you'll believe anything. You know, they got to believe something. They got to hold on to something And so the fool says in his heart there is no God, but the heavens declare the glory of God. Go out and look up. They may not reveal all there is to know about God, the revelation we had in Scripture, the revelation in Jesus Christ, but it declares the glory of God. As we were studying in Romans, Romans 1 and verse 19, and I started studying this, I think, well, I'll say a little bit about that, maybe before I get over into back into our Romans. And then I got thinking this, and this is one of these things, I don't know if I'll be able to finish all this today, but I'm going to work on that. But back where we were studying in Romans, you remember we read in Romans chapter 1. It says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God clearly showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Oh, the fool says there's no God. He tries to convince himself of that, but he sees. He sees the witness. He hears. This is an old thing that preachers have used in the past, but you know, this is. See if I can drop this too. But this is my one of my pocket watches, and well, you look at that. Well, who made this? Nobody. Well, what was it made out of? What was it made from? Nothing. Well, how did it get here? Oh, by accident. But you see, there's a watch. Now you can look at that, and I can look at that. And I say, you know what? There had to be a watchmaker. Somebody made this. There had to be a watchmaker. Now, I don't know a whole lot about him. Well, evidently, he was a little surprised, not a Chinese guy, a little Japanese guy. But, says, Japan movement. Well, that's about all I know. But I know somebody made this. It didn't come from nowhere. It was not made out of nothing. Who would be so foolish as to believe that? Oh, we met some yesterday, didn't we? Didn't we? Well, Paul says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Then he says this, they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There's none that doeth good. They're corrupt. Other than that's mankind. As Brother Howell alluded to in his prayer, there but for the grace of God. We're no different than any of them. They were just God's grace. God says, they are corrupt. Mankind has fallen. They're total hereditary depravity. It is our nature to sin. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. The reprobates today, you know, they talk about the sodomites. Oh, they were born that way. Yeah, well, we were all born that way. Maybe not that particular. So, well, I don't think it's hereditary either, but regardless, you know, we're all accountable to God. But we are all born total hereditary depravity. We're born corrupt. And because we are sinners, we sin. So he says, they are corrupt, they've done abominable works. That's all mankind. Not just those atheists we met yesterday. But that's all mankind. They're lest you don't get that, the Spirit inspires, and David continues, there is none that doeth good. You know, these folks, some of them say, well, you know, I think I'll do good enough. I remember, I think it was when John Wayne died or whatever, he was like this, he thought he'd be able to cut a deal and he'd be good enough, and you know, he'd done enough. It don't work that way. There's none. There's none that doeth good. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And because we're corrupt, because we're sinners, it says they have done abominable works. We all do abominable works. We all violate the commands of God. Brother, you know, that's why they don't like the Ten Commandments down there, you know. Thankfully, we're not under the law, but under grace, but the law condemns mankind. It helps them to see what a rest. You know, they don't like that. Put it away from us. As our brother Weaver talks about a Psalm 2 problem, you know. They put this away from us. We don't want to see that stuff. They're condemned by God's word. They're condemned in their own conscience. Romans 8:7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I'm doing the best I can. Well, it ain't good enough. I try as hard as I can. Don't cut it. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And again, to that rule, there's no exception. There's none that doeth good. And if you remember, Paul reflects upon this back in Romans as we were studying as well. In Romans 3 and verse 19, Paul said, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's the state of mankind. The fool says, there ain't no God. Yeah, but he knows. They're corrupt. They do abominable things. Continues in verse 2. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. That doesn't mean God didn't know that. You know, that's just speaking again from a human perspective. And then we see the results of that. Verse 3. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Again, modern religion doesn't like to accept what the Scripture clearly teaches, that man is dead in trespasses and sin. Man is spiritually dead. He is utterly incapable of any good in the spiritual realm. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. That's a pretty sad state. And to those who are dead in trespasses and sin, we read Paul writes to the saints in Ephesus, but you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. You have he made alive. That's what quickened means. Who were dead in trespasses and sin. Colossians 2. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, hath he made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. Man's dead. You know, you can't... I think some of those folks were out there trying the best they could yesterday to get some of these atheists to make the right kind of decision. Well, you know, oh, even the fellow who talked... Evidently, that fellow who started the thing and kind of, you know, talked about and ended up with choose you who this day you may, you'll serve. They had somebody come and thought it was... that was a commissioner, I think. He was one of the ones that was like, well, it's good, we're all here together, we can decide our own thing. So here's the atheist thing, here's the God thing, decide what you want. And he was, I mean, he was a little bit, he tried to make a Christian testimony out of it, you know, I'll give that to him. And, but by the grace of God, we would be over there with those atheists. It's not that, you know, he can decide the right thing. It's all the grace of God. And Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now, not all of you have heard about this illustration. Some of you have heard it many, many times. Again, but you know what? I don't have a little antenna sticking out the back of my head. But I'm going to tell you something. This room is full of radio waves. How many of you hear them? Yeah, you better not raise your hand. That's scary. But the room's full of radio waves, but you can't perceive them. You can't receive. The natural man receiving not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're spiritually discerned. I don't have a receiver. Don't mean it's not there. And I say, atheist, well, if I can't see it, if I can't touch it, if I can't receive it, it ain't there. Yeah, it is there. Just as surely as this room's full of radio waves, it's there. But you can't perceive them. Now, if I went and got my radio over there and turned it on, we'd hear something come out. Because the room's full of radio waves. Some of them may be from the NSA. You know, give my best to Janet and the boys. But anyway, that's a whole other story. He cannot perceive them because he cannot spiritually discern them because he's spiritually dead. Again, Paul in Romans 3, a little bit earlier on, he reflects on this particular passage in the Psalms. And he says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit, and the poison of asp is under their tongues, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not. There is no fear of God before their eyes. They don't have any fear of God. But they should shake their hands at God, put up an atheist monument. The natural man cannot and will not seek after the things of God. He can't even perceive those things. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He doesn't have the receptor. That's what the Lord was talking to Nicodemus about in John 3. He wasn't telling Nicodemus to born himself again. That's kind of basically what I think most of Christianity teaches today. Well, Nicodemus, you need to born yourself again. You know, you need to make right decisions. And I said, Nicodemus, you can't even perceive the kingdom of heaven. You can't even imagine it. In John 3, Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He didn't just say, well, you can't enter. He can't even see it. You can't even perceive it. It doesn't happen until you're born again. That doesn't happen. And the Spirit does that. And when the Spirit does that, you know, we realize our miserable condition. Paul goes on. Verse 4, for all the workers of iniquity, or have all the, let me start all over again. David continues there in the psalm, in verse 4, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord? Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? They act as if they have no inkling that there's going to be an accounting. that there's going to be a judgment. They deny God. They pretend there's not a God. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? And that's essentially a rhetorical question. Because they make no allowance for Jehovah. And of course, again, in verse 4, Lord, in all capitals, that tells us the Hebrew word Jehovah underlies that, which most of your modern Bible versions don't. So again, another. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? No, they know. They know. There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. You know, their fear is evident and becomes more evident. Well, they deny there's an accounting, but they know there's going to be one. In Proverbs, we read, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. Now there is coming an accounting. There is coming a judgment. We read in Revelation 20. And this is after the judgment of the righteous, you know, who are judged in the light of Christ's completed atonement. But here we see the rest appear before God, but appear before Christ in Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Now, look here. These are the folks that stand before God. These folks, most of them all through their lives, said, well, I'll just be a judge according to my works, you know. I think I've done more good than I have bad. These folks whose names, it's clear, were not in the book of life, were not put there by Christ, were not in him from the foundation. The dead were judged of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You know, they said, well, let's want to be fair. Okay, they're going to get fair. Brother, and I don't want fair. If I got what I deserved, I'd be burning in hell, not when I die, right this minute. The dead were judged of those things which were written in the books according to the works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. No one endures that judgment. All those who are not written in the book of life, all those who are not in Christ from the foundation of the world, not because of something they did, but because of something he did. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. David continues in verse 6. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor because the Lord is his refuge. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor. The poor saint. They mocked the poor saint for his faith, for his trust. Again, the atheist yesterday. You know, unsaved. You know, atheist. And all these other things. They mock that smirk will be wiped off their face. Those folks yesterday, I mean, it's pretty sad. Being so proud of what you're not. Being so proud of what you don't believe in. I'm not. I don't believe. You know. And again, maybe it's just me, but those were some strange people. Some scary people. And yes, I had a chance to talk to some of them one-on-one, and, you know, and I could even be cordial with a couple of them, and, you know, one fellow left and told him, said, God bless you, and he didn't know what to do with that. Now, I was talking with one, he's, well, you know, I don't believe God. I haven't seen God. I don't. She said, well, I guess God just hasn't chosen to reveal himself to you. And the guy was like, I don't know. No one ever said it that way to me before. I don't. There may well be some of God's elect there. I don't know who they are. But you know, it's too late. They done seen it. Too late. They done heard it. Ten Commandments are there. Now, you can't be saved by the Ten Commandments, but the man that's quickened by the Spirit realizes real quick that he can't be saved by them, and that he's hopelessly and helplessly lost. You shame the counsel of the poor because the Lord is his heritage. Again, Jehovah's his refuge. He trusts in God. Brother, God's going to prevail. So, it was a mess yesterday. Say, well, the atheist, I don't know who won. Maybe the spineless county commission won. But regardless, at least in the short term. But you know who's really going to win? God's going to win. We know how it's going to be in the end. Because the Lord is his refuge. Here's what David says in Psalm 37. Psalm of David, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Don't worry about those, folks. Neither be envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Don't worry about those. Time's coming. They're going to just be cut down like the grass. No, wither away. Trust in the Lord and do good. That's what we're to do. We talked about this when we were eating lunch yesterday. It was like, as Stonewall said, duty's ours, consequences are God's. Trust in the Lord and do good. Don't worry about those evildoers. Just do the right thing. Do what you know God would have you to do. Do what God has revealed for you to do. Like that one fellow that asked me, one fellow I talked to, and he was in the military, he was a military officer, and he had a bachelor's in comparative religions and a master's in some kind of religious thing, and he's out there an atheist, you know. But we got to talk, he was an infantry officer, and we had a lot in common, and more and more we talked. By the time we were done, he would say real out loud to everybody, says, I'm glad you all are here. And he said, I understand, you know, why you're here. And I don't know, you know what the Lord may or may not use in those things. But our duty is to... Oh, then he asked me, talking about the league, and, you know, we're working towards Southern independence. And he asked me, he said, well, are you all Dominionist? Which really is kind of an old way of just saying, you know, the old post-millennialist, you know, that things are going to get better and better and we're all going to win, and that's how we're going to usher in the millennium. I said, no, I said, there's some in the league that kind of have some of those views. There's some that kind of, you know, they have to think we're going to win. I said, I don't need that. And I look around. I'm not so sure in the short term we're going to win. I know in the long term we are. That's all that matters.
Exactly.
And I know what the Lord has told me to do. And that's what David's saying in the psalm here. Trust in the Lord and do good. Just trust. Don't worry about the evildoers. Don't worry about what's coming up here and there. Just stand against it. Stand for the right. Stand for the truth. But if it seems like you don't prevail in the short term, don't worry about it. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. And then he concludes in verse 7. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. you know, the longing for the Messiah, reference to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And such is the desire of God's elect. You know, Christ will free his people. Oh, that the salvation were come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. And he's speaking here not only of physical Israel, but again of the spiritual sense of it, God's elect. And I don't believe he's done with physical Israel. You know, a lot of folks kind of hold those things. But, it, you know, they do teach about his church and his elect. And I think that's what's going beyond here in this case with David. The longing for the Messiah, the longing for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Christ will absolutely free his people from the captivity to sin. The Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. They don't do it. He does. Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. The redeemed of the Lord will rejoice. He will bring in every... All the Father giveth me shall come to me. He'll not lose one. Not one. All that are his will come to him. Paul says in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In Romans 6, he says in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. He brings back the captivity of his people. We're dead to sin. We were captives to sin and to the flesh. But we're dead to him now. You know, when you're dead, the boss can't tell you what to do no more. We're dead to sin. We're dead to the flesh. Our old man's crucified with him, that the body of sin may be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, listen, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We're dead, therefore we live. Captivity to sin is broken. And again, but for the grace of God. But for the grace of God. We were no different. They were all gone out. They're all corrupt. They've all done abominable works. There's none that doeth good. That was us. But he surely will bring his elect to himself by his grace and by that alone. So I pray that we might continue to proclaim the truth. Trust in the Lord and do good by his grace. Realizing, you know, we're not any better than those folks that were out there. We're not any better. But God. Oh, well, when Brother Thomas was here, we'd start talking about just that. But God. That's the difference. That's the only difference. What maketh thee to differ from another, Paul said. But God. But God. Let's take our hymnals this morning. We'll stand and sing closing hymn together. Number 20. Oh, 4,000 tongues to sing. Number 20.
Oh, 4,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. None glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood. can make the foulest clean, his blood avail for me.
Thank you all. I got lost. But I saw a sign on the way to the thing from one of these churches over here. It says, lost? Then use GPS. God's plan for salvation. You know, just make a right decision. And I guess that's... Anyway, now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that you're a sovereign God, and that you love your people with an everlasting love. Father, we know that there's nothing worthy in us. Lord, we're all corrupt. We all did abominable things. Lord, but your grace. Lord, we long to see salvation come out of Zion. And Lord, you've allowed your people to experience that. Father, thank you for the work of the Spirit that gave us life and drew us to yourself. Thank you, Lord, that you chose to reveal yourself to your people. Thank you, Lord, that we know you'll not be thwarted. And regardless of how the heathen rage, you'll accomplish your sovereign will. Father, we pray that you help us to be faithful as your people. That we not only trust in God, but by your grace, we do good. We do those things that you've called us to do in the face of whatever odds or in the face of what might seem to men certain failure. Lord, as long as you're pleased to give us life and breath, may we be faithful servants unto thee. Father, thank you for each one that's here. Lord, thank you for the blessings of the meeting we attended. Lord, for the opportunity to be a testimony yesterday. Lord, thank you for this little flock that you've drawn together for your people, for the fellowship of the saints. And Lord, we want to lift up as well those that need your healing hand. Think of Ian, a cousin. Think of Brother Ellis, Brother Gardner. I'm sure many others that I've not mentioned. Guide our paths in this coming week. May you be glorified in our lives. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.